listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Last chance, Calgary. Save up to $4,000 on the 2015 Audi Q5. Drive it today at Glenmore Audi. Visit glenmoreaudi.com for details.
Sportsnet's Ben Nicholson-Smith will join us at 425. We'll talk about a very active Major League Baseball trade deadline, and I'm pretty sure that's going to come up in headlines. As Will joins us now.
Well, we'll start there, Rob, as the Blue Jays do make two more deals, ahead of the MLB trade deadline at 2 o'clock this afternoon, Mountain Time, 4 o'clock East was the deadline. The two trades they go out and make today, they acquire reliever Mark Lowe from the Seattle Mariners for a package of prospects, and they also acquire outfielder Ben Revere from the Philadelphia Phillies, that for a pair of prospects. And we did the math earlier, they gave up double digits in minor league pitchers this whole entire week, did the Blue Jays, in these trades that they have made, as they've now added five big league players and have only shipped out one big leaguer to go the other way. Here's Alex Anthopoulos just kind of on the entire week that was for the Blue Jays.
They want to win. I mean, we know that. Look, 29 other clubs are in the same boat, so we want to get better. I think what making these moves and adding is a reflection of the fact that we do believe in them. We believe in the talent. We believe we have a chance to get to the postseason, and then at that point, anything can happen. From an ownership standpoint, they gave us everything that we can ask for. So, but it was done by design to leave us a little bit of room and to not maybe jump out and do some things that we weren't totally committed to in the offseason. There were a lot of times I was not optimistic. The prices were just too high for us. And then all of a sudden things came together. But we didn't come in here and say, let's go do five things, six things. Sure, you want to, but I had no idea how the week was going to play out.
So he woke up Monday morning with no idea that what he would end up with on Friday. And now he's got a full big league roster with a lot of power.
Guys, do we have I loathe these situations and going, well, this is unprecedented. It's never happened before. But does anybody remember? I mean, hockey, yeah, we've seen this kind of loading up before. I want to say some of those Yankees teams, you know, with Joe Torre back in the early part of the last decade, I remember them being very active at the deadline. They'd go out and get whoever. But do we remember anybody else? Or am I not paying attention? You know, did the Rangers do more than the Jays? It just seems like...
So Detroit went and got Price at the deadline last year.
Right.
Did they do anything else? Like, was there anything else big on top of that? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
The biggest last year was, everybody remember, if you guys will both remember this, is the Oakland Athletics were the talk of the town last July when they went and got Jeff Samardzija from the Chicago Cubs. Then they go and get John Lester as well from the Boston Red Sox and really stocked up their pitching.
But they gave up Cespedes in that deal, right?
They gave up Cespedes in the John Lester deal.
Yeah.
So while he was criticized for giving up power and bringing in arms, because you still need to score runs. So in terms of getting in, like, every aspect of the game kind of improving all over the place, I can't really remember a time that we've seen this.
No.
This is a pretty, like, in terms of just a week of acquisitions, like, it's pretty tough not to just, like, sit back in awe and say, holy, like, Alex Anthopoulos is hit on every single one.
And I think about the conversations we've had here, and I understand and respect, Pat, that, you know, where the Calgary Flames are in terms of their development is different than where the Jays are.
Yeah.
And they're different. Is there anybody credibly making a case that they've done too much, credibly making the case that they should have been more patient?
The Jays?
Yes. And I know it's Friday. That means it's roundtable on primetime. And I remember listening to primetime a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of the older baseball guys were saying, oh, there's nothing to do here. It's not worth it. This isn't a roster worth going out and doing. And I don't think they were envisioning this. But is there any quarter that is going to be any, you know, voice out there that's going to say, whoa? Because it seems like it's so celebrated, right?
I haven't seen anything on Twitter, Will, have you? Like, I mean,
no.
Greg Zahn thinks that they gave up too much. No, he
doesn't. No, he certainly doesn't.
Seen anything,
I don't think Greg Zahn thinks they didn't give up enough.
I'm here to tell you the first part of it. I'll tell you, the only reason why people are prospects is because somebody in the baseball world has told you that they're a prospect.
There you go.
That's about all you need to know from Greg Zahn.
That's a good clip there from Zahn.
But no, I mean, there will be somebody from that camp, I'm sure. But at this point, I haven't really seen that. And again, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. If they start losing a bunch of games, I'm sure there'll be a ton of people in that camp.
Yeah. Well, no, that's always the way it works.
Yep.
Right. But, and you know, you talked about it earlier, Pat. I just remember when Calgary, the first go round, went out and got Olli Jokinen and Jordan Leopold. It was kind of like, wow, you see what Calgary just did. You know, they're all in, so to speak. This is bigger than that.
It sure is. And it's a scenario where I think the understanding and the feel is we've got some really once in a lifetime, but fairly rare pieces here. I mean, the fact that you have Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista and this offense that is nailing on all cylinders.
Well, you look at all the guys.
Smoke is one game, he's going off, and then like it's insane what Donaldson's have 25 home runs now.
But I feel like, you know, it's probably wrong for me because it's not my team, but you look at the guys they've wasted their careers, Pat Henkin, you know, Doc Holliday, Carlos Delgado, right? Yeah. They had all of these guys. And in this case, maybe you had more. They were bats, but maybe you had more that you really need to take advantage of.
You're kind of like, okay, we've got the best offense in baseball. Nobody can shut these guys down. They're good for 5-6 runs a game with what they're able to do. It's tough to hit them anywhere in their lineup. So you go, okay, we've got this opportunity. They add to it and bring in Troy Tulowitzki, which just gives them now apparently a crazy good leadoff threat. And on top of that, you know, you knew that you needed to make your team more well-rounded and to maybe capitalize on what you have offensively, and they've done that. They've added to their bullpen. LaTroy Hawkins and Lowe have come in. They've obviously added big time to their starting rotation in David Price. I think the realization was, we've got something here that is kind of maybe a little bit rare and something that even the last couple of years when we've all hoped they could make the playoffs, we've all hoped that they'd be a little bit better. I don't even think in the last couple of years they've had something quite like this to build on top of. And I think that's why now is the time for Alex.
The only thing I hope is that people dig it. If this is your team, if this is your town, if this is your group, I hope you dig it. And I can only imagine, I know they're selling tickets like crazy right now. I can only imagine what television is going to be like and ad revenue. The company will do well.
Everybody bought tickets for Sunday's game because they believed David Price is pitching on Sunday. He's actually now pitching on Monday, so people are scrambling to buy tickets for that game. As the club has officially confirmed, David Price will make his Blue Jays debut Monday night at the Rogers Center against the Minnesota Twins as they begin a 3-game set against a team they're trailing 2 games back of in the wild card chase right now in the American League. Again, they're 8 games back of the Yankees for the division lead in the American League East with 13 games left against that club. It is game 2 of a 4-game set against the Kansas City Royals tonight. And guys, Johnny Cueto make his Royals debut, so the Blue Jays in tough there. Drew Hutchison on the mound, 5:07 first pitch on Sportsnet West. We'll join in progress at 6 right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And for those wondering, yes, David Price's locker is full of popcorn.
There you go.
Good.
Right?
Has he gotten to Toronto yet, though?
That I do not believe.
Had a flat tire?
Yeah. And we figured out what kind of car it is.
No,
That to me is really, because there's a picture on Twitter of it.
He took it very strategically.
I think it's a Nissan Skyline, but you can't really tell, so I'm not sure.
He took the photo very, very well done by him because you can't really identify.
You can't really
the car.
Tell. Like, you're like, I don't think
no license
like
plate,
Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Bentley or anything like that. So I can't tell.
So yeah, Blue Jays Royals at the Rogers Center tonight, 6:00. We'll join in progress.
It's not a 2001 Honda Civic. I can tell you that.
So he's got you beat in the car category.
Yeah, that's the only area David Price has me beat is in the car area.
You out-earn him.
There's a possibility that Sportsnet is too excited about the Toronto Blue Jays, gentlemen.
Why do you say that?
Well, one of the things that's, I think, positive about being part of this company is the resources. And part of the resources, guys, is that they do have a full-time statistical department.
A great stats department. I see the email you're referencing.
Yep. Yeah, so we might be taking the Blue Jays just a little bit too seriously. This directly from the statistics department here at Sportsnet. It's a blue moon tonight. You guys know that? A blue moon tonight. The Blue Jays are 5-3 all time when playing on the day of a blue moon. Okay? Maybe we're getting a little overboard here. Maybe we're a little too excited.
What's a blue moon? I know the saying, once in a blue moon. What's a blue moon?
It's some
Is that
sort
a new moon?
It's some sort of full moon.
Well, it was apparently we're talking about the moon. So yes. Last night I was having a get together with some of my buddies. It was their birthday, and the talk of the party was
this is probably where the good information will come from and accurate.
The talk of the party was the moon and how spectacular it looked last night. I didn't actually
go. Who are you hanging out with?
Watch it. But that's what they said.
Are you hanging out with 45-year-old married couples? What is going on?
It was my buddy's uncle, so yeah.
Okay, well, I guess. A blue moon.
A blue
moon is an additional full moon that appears in a subdivision of a year, either the third or four full moons in the season, or a second full moon in a month of the calendar.
Okay, because what I had was a blue moon is the third full moon in an astronomical season with four full moons.
We
know the Jays are 5-3.
Now I understand the genesis of the saying.
Absolutely.
Once in a blue moon.
You know, if Peter Maher was the voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, that would have been.
That
would have been this date in Blue Jays history.
And that intro he always did is like, tonight, live, and then. Well, the Toronto, and then he goes on this, and he would have linked it to like all kinds of other like.
Could you imagine
on full moons and on half moons? You're like, Peter Maher's the best. Where does he even come up with this?
The week that the Blue Jays have had, like, could you imagine the puns that Peter would have in his openings?
Oh, if he was the voice of the Blue Jays?
Oh my goodness!
Well, yeah,
this is not.
Well, all we know is that the other guy's just going to be singing about Tootsie Rolls.
I do know this. Mm-hmm. That this week for the Blue Jays,
yes,
comes along once in a blue moon.
Wow.
By the way, David Price, apparently, according to one texter, drives a BMW M6.
Well, no, you said it was a Nissan All-Continent.
I was wrong. Okay. So he says it'd be I got to look at him. Like, that kind of looks like a modified Skyline.
That's a pretty expensive car.
BMW M6.
He wouldn't have road service?
Yeah.
like roadside service? Sorry?
Didn't he get the full package there?
I don't know.
You're making
that's a little too much. That's a little too much. You know, I got the moonroof. The blue moon roof.
I didn't get the leather, though.
There you go.
No leather.
Lots of moon talk.
Next.
tons of other deals made in baseball today. Pretty much too many for me to mention, but a couple of noticeable ones. Cespedes is on the move again. He's now a member of the New York Mets.
Weird, eh? Like Price and Cespedes, who were involved in the big deals last year, moving again this year, right?
Yep. Yeah. And it's crazy where the Detroit Tigers have come in a year. Chicago Cubs get Dan Heron from the Marlins. They also ship Junior Lake to the Orioles for reliever Tommy Hunter. So the Cubs they're close.
Whoa. Tommy Hunter got traded today?
Yes.
Tommy Hunter?
His name is Tommy Hunter.
Okay. Anybody else find that interesting? Anybody old like me?
No, this one's gone right over my head.
Tommy Hunter?
This is where I need the crickets.
You guys need to turn in your passports. Are you kidding me?
Thomas James Tommy Hunter is a Canadian country
holy, your
music
Google
performer
is on point right now.
Known as Canada's country gentleman.
Thank you. Oh my God.
Well, just
Boomer and I would have bogged down here and there would have been nothing till 5 o'clock.
In 1956, he began performing as a rhythm guitarist on the CBC television show Country Hoedown.
Can you hear that right now? That's a rocket racing down here. He is racing down here right now. He's got my back.
No.
The book Cue the Elephant by Knowlton Nash featured some disparaging remarks from the show's makeup artist.
Well, my parents weren't even born in 56.
But your parents watched Tommy Hunter.
Probably.
Yes, because they're of that vintage.
Apparently Rob is as
well. Wouldn't kill you guys to know a little bit about the country. You know, if Lou was here, Lou would string you two up.
I can name...
Call Lou right now.
Smart ass.
Call Lou right now.
This is what Lou would do, though.
Yeah, you would.
Next.
Tommy Hunter.
So those are kind of the recap of the deals, the biggest deals on MLB trade deadline day today. If you want a full rundown, you can do so at sportsnet.ca.
What was Tommy Hunter's band name? Tommy Hunter.
Oh, yeah, you're so smart. You know all your Tommy Hunter trivia.
I'm a big Tommy Hunter expert now.
Something Men, right?
Tommy Hunter and the Traveling Men.
Yeah.
Well, he was close.
Thank you.
Not to be confused with the Traveling
Wilburys. Thank you.
A half point.
See, I could all give right you the members of the Traveling Wilburys.
Okay, dude.
After much debate.
I'll borrow my daughter's iPhone and I'll FaceTime you tonight and we'll watch some reruns.
Okay.
After much debate, the Seattle Seahawks and quarterback Russell Wilson have finally come to an agreement. 4 years, $87.6 million, guys, and 60 of that 87 is guaranteed.
Oh, that's a lot of guaranteed money.
60.
60 of $84 million guaranteed to Russell Wilson.
But youngest quarterback ever to take his team to two.
I'm not even saying he doesn't deserve it.
You're just talking about
just knowing how the NFL works and just I know how much money they make, and the Seahawks are a very, very...
No, you're absolutely right, Pat. I mean, that's that guarantee.
Russell Wilson blows out his ACL this year. His career's done. He still gets $60 million.
Yeah. Shorter contract length than I thought, though.
Does he lose money for throwing the worst interception in the history of the National
Football
League?
No, it was just good defense.
Oh.
Good play calling, too.
Good play calling. Yeah, really good. Excellent play calling, John Gibbons.
Guys, he's been a... You talk about the money, though.
Hey, Rob, John Gibbons, he's baseball, not football.
Yeah, listen to the show.
He's been a bargain for Seattle financially. The 2015 season will be the first time Wilson makes more than $1 million. So the Seattle Seahawks now tied up financially with their quarterback situation as Russell Wilson inks a four-year, $87.6 million contract extension today. Won't kick in until 2016. It includes $60 million in guaranteed money. Tom Brady and his camp would love a decision by September the 4th as the NFL season will begin just days later. So the Tom Brady camp wants a decision from federal court by September 4th regarding his suspension.
Yeah, interesting that yesterday one of the judges told both of them to stop talking and start talking to each other. And apparently both the NFL and the NFLPA have exchanged documents. They are going to try and come to some sort of agreement and then take it to a judge here in the next couple of weeks. So this may go, hopefully go quiet in the sense that they neither side's going to deal publicly, but they were told to shut the hell up yesterday by a judge and get a deal done here.
Does it get done before September 4th?
Yep.
Does he play week one?
Nope.
Whew, those are two really good questions. Does it get done by September 4th? So the next month, do they figure out a deal? I will go yes, and I will say he misses the first game, too.
They've gone this far. They can't just scrub it all, right? The NFL can't scrub it all.
He'll miss week one and week two.
I was going to say, I think the suspension goes two games. Gets cut down by two games.
Yeah, I could see that.
So we'll see.
You know what? Wouldn't shock me if it's one. Wouldn't shock me if it's one. The other thing in all of this, guys, if you paid attention, like all of a sudden Mortensen at ESPN has become the center of attention here in the last 24 hours.
Fed wrong information by the NFL.
Yeah, but I guess he was going on a sports talk radio station in Boston, thought he was doing a hit, and they kept promoting it all day that they were going to get him to explain why he had, you know, got the wrong information, kind of looking for a mea culpa from him, and he just didn't show up. It has gotten crazy at all levels, right? Mm-hmm. It has gotten crazy.
Week 6 of the CFL season continues tonight in Edmonton as the Eskimos host the 0-5 Saskatchewan Roughriders. Quarterback Brett Smith gets the start for the Riders. Quarterback Brett Smith will start for the Riders. That's about all I have on that game.
Now, good luck, young man.
Not an easy place.
The league's best defense.
Yeah.
Your first professional start.
Why do I feel like...
Have at her.
Why do I feel like it, you know...
Don't say it.
Okay.
What was he going to say?
No, I'm not going to say it. Tommy Hunter, everybody.
And the traveling men.
I will never forget his... I probably won't remember the guy's name, but I'll be like, who's the guy with the traveling men? That's what I'll remember.
Yep.
And to wrap things up on headlines, yes, Beijing will host the 2022 Winter Olympics. Pat, and they're the first city to host the Summer and Winter Olympics, and they will do it in 14 years.
16.
16 years. No?
Isn't that right?
14 years.
14 years.
Stand by. Hold on.
14 years.
8 plus 14 is 22.
2008 to 2022 is 14 years.
Stand by.
Uh-oh.
No, I had a story on it.
Well, you got 300 sheets of paper in front of you.
It says right here. Now Beijing will be the first to do it in the span of just 14 years. All right? All right? No, do I have
just,
to?
I just
do
like...
I have to?
Lou, do you have thoughts on that?
I just like that you had to go consult a newspaper article to get math right. Like, we're like, yeah. No, 8 plus no. 14 is 22.
Well, you know what I was thinking was the cycle, right? I was thinking four-year cycle.
Right. But because it's a two-year offset.
Right.
With the...
So, Tommy Hunter would have had it, but the traveling men, probably not.
Do we want to mention the...
We do, but this has been a really light segment, and I kind of feel a little bit bad, you know what I'm saying? Word is coming out today that Roddy Piper has passed away at the age of 61 years old, and for guys my age, my vintage, or wrestling fans, this is a huge loss. I mean, we keep saying goodbye too early to a lot of wrestlers. Do not know the circumstances. I was telling Pat here, you know, recently he's had a little bit of problem. He had a podcast, which I listened to. I thought it was kind of neat. He got kicked off of that. He was on Rich Eisen's show down south last week, kind of had a weird interview there. I hope, you know, that we're going to find out. I hate to say passed by natural causes, Pat, but you know what I'm saying here.
TMZ Sports says it was natural causes as to why he passed away at the age of 61. TMZ Sports is the one that first put it out there.
Canadian guy, too.
Yeah, Canadian. And I got to say, he was in Calgary with one of the smaller promotions. I'm going to say about 4 or 5 years ago, because you and I were working together.
Yeah.
And I interviewed him.
And oh, did
came
you?
On the, came on the air, and I have the clip because Jason DeForest and I were both like, "That's awesome." I said, "Mr. Piper, how are you?" And this is how he classified his day.
Patrick, I'm a box of fluffy ducks.
And it's still one of my.
I love Patrick too.
Patrick, I'm a. I think Jay did the same thing. You're talking to Patrick, and he's Patrick.
I'll say this: I was saying to you earlier, the beauty of YouTube is it allows us to go visit things. If there's two things with Roddy Piper. One, you've got to see the Piper's Pit with Jimmy Snuka. That is classic and leads to so much. But also, there's an old NWA battle between him and Greg Valentine in a dog collar match, and it's awesome. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. If you like wrestling.
He was not so much an innovator in the ring. He was more of an innovator with the promo side of it.
Best mouth I ever heard.
More recent vintage wrestling fans will remember, the Jericho show in the ring. But remember, Piper's Pit, that was
the original.
That was the original. And so he was an innovator. He was fine in the ring, great in the ring. And he put on great shows from a work rate standpoint. But what he did in the promo side, what he did on the mic was second to none and really redefined what you're supposed to do as a persona in wrestling as opposed to being just in the ring.
At the risk of exposing myself maybe a little bit too much, I don't think he ever got the credit for his work in the original WrestleMania. That, that was about Hulk Hogan and Mr. T, but you had to have a bad guy. And Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff and Cowboy Hayes Orton were pretty good, foils in that case. And like I say, he had a podcast, and it didn't end really well for him here in the last couple of weeks, but some of those conversations he had when those guys reminisce, and boy, they got away with stuff. Talk about guns in the locker room and things like that. It's amazing. So,
born in Saskatoon, I believe, is where Roddy Piper was from.
Passing away today at the age of 61. Yeah, absolutely. Those are your headlines. We'll talk a little baseball around the corner. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, The FAN.
Sportsnet 960 headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Last chance, Calgary. Save up to $4,000 on the 2015 Audi Q5. Drive it today at Glenmore Audi. Visit glenmoreaudi.com for details.
Steaks and ribs since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Your secret seat is G43.
Trending right now in Calgary.
Two more acquisitions for the Toronto Blue Jays. They've acquired outfielder Ben Revere from Philadelphia and right-hand relief pitcher Mark Lowe from Seattle. Game two of their four-game set with the Kansas City Royals goes tonight. We'll join it in progress for you here at 6 o'clock. Week six of the CFL season continues tonight. Brett Smith gets the start for Saskatchewan as they visit Edmonton Stampeders and Montreal from McMahon tomorrow.
Brought to you by Western Direct Insurance. Why are customers switching to Western Direct for home insurance? Get a quick online quote now at westerndirect.ca and see for yourself. For home insurance, go Western.
Covering Jays, Stamps, PGA, NFL, and more. If it's late in the summer, we talk about it. Proud to serve Calgary sports fans. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Kerr Steinberg, The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
There's no hiding it. The last couple of days in Major League Baseball, the last couple of days with the Toronto Blue Jays have been something to watch, haven't they? The non-waiver trade deadline coming and passing today, it has been as active as one can remember, at least from my perspective. Very pleased to have joined us here on the Big Show this afternoon. The baseball editor at Sportsnet.ca, podcaster Ben Nicholson-Smith joining us. And Ben, that's just kind of a guy watching from afar. It feels like a busier than usual MLB trade deadline. Can you kind of give us the big picture? Was this a very busy historical week?
Yeah, it really was. There was a ton of action, and I think that you look around and the Blue Jays were tremendously aggressive, but I think beyond that, even you look at teams like the Mets, the Astros really fortifying themselves for a big run. You could look at the Cubs as well. So really a lot of teams around baseball are looking to make a difference down the stretch and maybe make up for some of those deficiencies they had earlier in the season.
So we'll come to the Jays in a second. Tell me the Mets story in this, because as exciting and as upbeat and positive as Toronto has been, it's really kind of been the opposite for the Mets until today when they get Cespedes.
Yeah, exactly. There's been so much skepticism in New York just about their ownership and whether they were willing to step up. They ended up getting Cespedes, who is arguably the best right-handed bat available, probably one of the better hitters to change hands, arguably along with Troy Tulowitzki. And so they really did add in a big way at the trade deadline. But I think that up until that point, there was a lot of questions about whether the Mets would actually make that big move. And this is a team that needed it because they do not have much offense whatsoever. Tons of great young pitching, but they didn't have the bats.
The other team you mentioned, and I'm fascinated because they were one of those few teams in pro sports that said, hey, look, we're not going to be good for a while. We know we're going young. We're going to burn it to the ground. And that's the Houston Astros. By what the Astros have done here leading up to this non-waiver trade deadline, are they a little ahead of schedule here in people's minds?
Yeah, they definitely are. I think that for a team that lost 111 games in 2013, I don't think that a lot of us expected it to turn around this quickly. But here they are, right in contention, right alongside the Angels, neck and neck in the American League West. And they've got a really good shot here going down the stretch, especially because they've now bolstered what was their biggest weakness. They had a starting rotation that was pretty questionable after a couple of two or three guys, and now they've added Scott Kazmir, who can be a really big impact addition for them. And they quietly went out and added Mike Fiers as well, someone who was on the Blue Jays radar and who can be a nice steady presence in that rotation.
Ben, tell me about the Toronto Blue Jays and what they did today. I mean, we know what they did on Monday night. We know what they did with David Price, but tell me about what they did today with their two acquisitions.
Well, today they added Ben Revere, who is a speedy, speedy outfielder with really good bat-to-ball skills, who is going to be in left field in probably a bit of a platoon role with Danny Valencia. So he's going to be out there. He has a lot of range in the outfield, not a very good throwing arm, very little power. But what he does do is he puts the bat on the ball. He led the National League in hits last year. He's able to leg out base hits and steal a base for you. So I think the Blue Jays like him. He'll probably replace Ezekiel Carrera on the Blue Jays roster and provide the Blue Jays with a proven outfielder, someone who can help them score runs and potentially with his glove as well. And then Mark Lowe, a reliever from the Texas Rangers, is having a really good year. So that's one more nice bullpen arm for John Gibbons to use.
And one thing that is important to note is specifically on Revere. This is not a guy that they're at risk of losing next year. He's a Blue Jay next year as well.
Exactly. They can keep him for 2 years after this one if they're so inclined. So they have a lot of flexibility there. This is not a rental. Lowe, the reliever they got, is someone who's going to be a free agent after this season. He's a veteran pitching in his 10th big league season. But Revere is someone who they can keep around. And that's a nice option to have because, as we've seen this year, you know, things happen. And Michael Saunders this year ended up getting hurt. You've seen Dalton Pombe had to go to the minor leagues and get some more time in there. So it is always nice to have depth when it comes to major league caliber position players.
Tell me about, so you add Lowe to the mix, LaTroy Hawkins earlier this week. How's this Blue Jays bullpen been transformed?
Well, I think it's looking a lot different than it did say 2-3 weeks ago. And a big part of that too, is because Aaron Sanchez is now back as well and looking pretty sharp. I would even say surprisingly sharp. So, you know, they've gotten more pieces they have some decisions to make now as far as who's going to go down to the minor leagues when Mark Lowe actually gets to Toronto and reports to the team. But that's a good problem to have ultimately, because it means that they have a lot more arms, a lot more people in the organization. And even if there is someone who needs to go on the disabled list at some point in the next couple of weeks, then they are going to have the depth to be able to withstand that kind of an injury, having made these trades.
You had this on your Twitter, and I think it's really interesting. I know that we're going to get into the prospects and the 11 pitchers that were traded for the in these four deals, but I think it's really interesting to note and important to underline that David Price has been added to the rotation, and with him, Mark Burley, Estrada, and Dickey, that's four of right now Toronto's rotation that could not be back for next year, which is pretty darn significant too, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So all four of those guys that you just mentioned could end up hitting free agency this fall. Now, if Dickey keeps pitching the way he has for the last couple of months, I'd expect the Blue Jays to pick up his 2016 option and bring him back. But it's interesting to see that, you know, this is a team right now with pieces geared to winning this year. And if it works out, then they're going to have some tough decisions to make. And if it doesn't work out, they're going to have to find ways to get some starting pitching. Of course, with Marcus Stroman coming back next year, that accounts for one of your spots. You have some prospects coming up, and guys like Aaron Sanchez could be a consideration for that rotation again. But at this point, it does look like we'll see a fair amount of transition when it comes to the rotation that we end up seeing next year.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor for Sportsnet.ca, our guest here on the Big Show. Ben, what about what left? And I know that's not the popular question because, you know, everybody seems to be in agreement that the Blue Jays had to do this, but there's an awful lot of arms that left this organization. How many of them could or will come back and haunt them?
Well, that's going to be the big question. And I think that certainly you look at Jeff Hoffman, who went to Colorado in the Tulowitzki deal, and you look at Daniel Norris, who went to Detroit in the David Price deal. And these guys have a really good shot at being impact big league starters. So I think that they would be at the top of that list when you start talking about guys that might end up having an impact at the big league level, a big impact. So that's the risk that you run. And the Blue Jays are well aware of that. They like these players and see a big future for them. But at the same time, if you want to jump in on that starting pitching market midseason, you're going to be paying a premium. And to get David Price, who was the best starting pitcher, you know, along with Johnny Cueto, who ended up being dealt this summer, you were going to have to give up a top guy. And in this case, it meant trading from strength. The Blue Jays, to their credit, had a lot of talented young minor league pitching. Now they're going to have to go back and restore some of that depth.
I'm going to go a little sideways on you here. Managers and their impact on the game have been somewhat notable here the last couple of weeks, and John Gibbons' name comes up again. What about him with this particular group? I mean, you know, everybody's looking at AA, and if this doesn't work, he's going to be the first guy to go. But if this doesn't work, I'm sure John Gibbons joins him. How do you think John Gibbons now? I mean, obviously, you would love to have this kind of ammunition, but how does he play out the rest of the year? What's, I mean, his role other than the day-to-day?
Well, I think that he was pretty thrilled to have the acquisitions that the Blue Jays made in the last few days. It's definitely encouraging, and he basically admitted that as much as he had been publicly supporting his pitching staff and saying that things were going to get better, he knew deep down that the Blue Jays had some room for improvement on that starting staff. And when it came to Felix Dubron going out there and making a handful of starts for this team, they had to do better than that. And in acquiring Price, they bolstered their rotation in a huge way. And I think that it's a bit of a relief for John Gibbons. Now it really is on him, though. Like you said, Alex Anthopoulos has gone out and made these acquisitions. He's bolstered this team and made it into a serious contender in the American League. And if John Gibbons is able to make the most of it, then we could be talking about the Blue Jays in October. And if not, I would agree that that's going to hurt his chances of returning as Blue Jays manager.
Ben, this lead up to the trade deadline, since Monday, it's been unprecedented in terms of the Blue Jays going out and acquiring names and impact makers at this time of year. How come now? How come the 2015 trade deadline? How come the 2015 rendition of the Blue Jays has Anthopoulos decided this is the team I truly need to push all in on?
Well, I think it comes down to a number of reasons. And first of all, I think that the Blue Jays have underperformed, and this is the sentiment that they have internally, and I think also it's shared among other teams to some extent, where you look at the talent on this team up and down this roster, and it's more than a 500 team. You know that the offense is there, and some of the pitching is underperformed. So that's part of it. I think the second part of it comes down to the fact that the competition, the Blue Jays would never come out and say this, of course, but I think the competition in the league is beatable. You look at the Yankees, who put Pineda on the disabled list. They're an older team, prone to injuries potentially, and they didn't add much at the deadline. You look at the team that's ahead of them in the wild card race, the Minnesota Twins, and that's a team that's very vulnerable. They've had a nice story this year. It's great. You know, Torii Hunter comes back. They're playing well. But realistically, I'm not sure that they have the talent to stick it out in this division and make a wild card appearance. So in that context, I think that's why the Blue Jays decided to be aggressive.
Ben, in a business in which content is king, this has been a hell of a week for Sportsnet.
It's true. It's been a lot of fun, and it's seemingly every time I turn around, the Blue Jays are making another trade. But now that the deadline's passed, I think we can rest easy for a little while.
Well, for a couple of days anyway. Mm. Really appreciate this, Ben. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good long weekend.
Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet, the baseball editor, joining us. Everybody's excited.
And, I mean, for good reason. And so far, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, Tulowitzki's been good. Price is yet to arrive in Toronto, and the two gentlemen they acquired today, obviously, but so far so good. You beat Philly in game two. You start off your four game set with the Royals with a win, and you've got some important games. They're now three games into this 10-game homestand.
We'll take a break. Come back.
Price is at the Rogers Center, by the way. Sorry.
Oh, he has. He's arrived.
He's there.
Yay!
He's alive. He's there eating his popcorn.
Yay!
Carry on.
Thank you. Coming up at the top of the hour, Barry Midori will join us. He's working with the coaches over at the Under-17, part of the Hockey Canada Summer Showcase. We'll also hear from Josh Humphreys. Yeah, I'm looking at you. And a very weird but wonderful conversation with Randy Chevrier. Gets weird towards the end, but always a fun conversation. And then after that, we'll take you to the Blue Jays and join them in progress as they take on the Kansas City Royals. And David Price is apparently there eating popcorn. All coming up, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talk to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I was making a lot more money here, and the thing was is with the way that my ankle responded last year, not very good. And to go through the injury and the pain of every week, and, you know, those are tough decisions they have to make on a week-in and week-out basis. So they didn't know what kind of Nick Lewis they were going to get this year, and it was pretty much in their best interest to move forward. And when you have guys like Jeff Fuller, Eric Rogers, Joe West, Marquay McDaniel, I mean, they're stacked at receiver, and they have so many great ones that I have a lot of respect for. They're like my little brothers, but you know, it's time for them to move forward, step up, and start making plays as well.
That is Nick Lewis, who, even though he's not here, Pat, still sounds like he's here. You know, he's talking to the media today, still using we. You know, talking about last year's team. You know, if you were hoping for him to be bitter, if you were hoping for him to come in and, you know,
not happening, eh?
No. He's handled it like a true pro. And he's really excited about tomorrow. The Stampeders, I think if the Stampeders were on one of their rolls like last year, this might have been a bigger storyline. Stampeders need to win. Winnipeg won last night. Edmonton, you know, very well could win tonight against Saskatchewan. And all of a sudden, you know, if the Stamps fall to 3-3, they're going to be middle of the pack.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, we were talking about this in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the one difference. When I think about the Stampeders this year, this is more of a perception thing than anything else. But for me, the Stampeders last year and the year before, specifically in the regular season, I went into every game thinking, they don't win this game, it's because of something they did. If they don't win this game, it's because they didn't perform to their capability. Whereas this year, and my thought was always, if the Stampeders execute to what they're capable of, they're going to win the game. And
right.
that was my feel all last year, leading up to the Grey Cup game against Hamilton. Well, this year is a little bit different. You don't get the feeling right now the Stampeders are head and shoulders above very many teams. No. They're in the pack.
They look
beatable. They look, and because they're in the pack, they are beatable. You're vulnerable when you're in the pack. They're with Montreal. They're with Toronto. They're with Edmonton. Edmonton might have separated themselves from the pack more than Calgary has. They're with BC. They're with Ottawa. They're with Winnipeg. So everybody's kind of there right now. And Edmonton, to me, is the one team who has maybe separated themselves a little bit, and Toronto in the East, but it's a slight separation. And then at the bottom end, I know they're 0-5, and they might drop to 0-6, but heaven forbid Saskatchewan beats Edmonton tonight. All of a sudden, they're a game back of BC. Yeah. So the separation is so small. And I know it's early, and that's a big part of it, but I just don't get the feeling the Stamps are the pace-setting team this year.
No. But I don't mind where they're at either. You know, you have to kind of temper everything because they mowed through the opposition. John Huffnagel was asked about that today, and coaches hate that, right? Oh, how come you're not mowing everybody down like you? Well, no, the other teams are good. Montreal's a good team. Talked to Bo Levi Mitchell today, and I thought he brought up a really cool point. You watch this team right now, and I said to him, is it consistency or is it rhythm? Because there's large gaps of two and outs for the offense. But then when they need something in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, they get it. Mm-hmm. They put together a rhythm. And he says it's not consistency, it's rhythm. And that's where they got to get to. They got to get to dinking and dunking. They got to be able to rely on the run game to pick up some yards. And they got to be able to push through and kind of stop, you know, those three or four drives in a row that are two and outs. Get that rhythm going, feeling good about yourself. It's easier to do that at home than on the road. Right.
Yeah, it's true, and I mean they've yet to lose at McMahon Stadium this year, so maybe they're feeling a little bit better on home field. I don't know if there is going to be a time at any point this year where the Stampeders truly separate. You know, like if they do,
not till the postseason,
and if they do separate, it would be like part of a pack that separates. It's like last year they were head and shoulders
better than everybody.
This year it's probably going to be okay. The Stamps are part of that upper echelon group with Toronto and Edmonton or whoever you want to throw in there. That's more what I see happening as opposed to the Stamps being the guys that the Grey Cup is theirs to lose, because it was last year and it was the year before. One year they lost it, and 1 year they won it.
And as a guy that spent the last couple of years going, the product's not that good. The game's not that good. Pretty tight right now. Hard to argue. Yeah. Like Rash was saying, the best game of the weekend might be Monday in Hamilton with the Argonauts and the Tiger Cats. Yeah. And although maybe out west we don't like that, probably better for the league that way. Before we let you go into a long weekend and then another break, I do want to ask you a little bit about UFC 190. Ronda Rousey and Beth Correa. Am I saying that right?
No, you're saying that as about as wrong as you possibly can.
Thank
and that's
you.
Not even your
no, no,
fault.
No. That's why I asked.
It took me like, so I had to go and watch because it Beth Correa. It is Beche Correa. She is Brazil. And that, and yeah.
It's cool.
Correct.
But that's closer to it.
Closer. But I had to go watch and look a couple weeks ago. Brazilian, she's going to be the hometown favorite. This is a fight going on in Rio tomorrow. So you've got the biggest mixed martial arts superstar in the world right now in Ronda Rousey, and you have Correa, who is a Brazilian. And so I'm quite interested to see how the crowd split is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But this one looks like it's got some bad blood. We just watched the weigh-in video, and these two do not like one another. There's a lot of bad blood here.
I think I'd rather have a disinterested Ronda Rousey rather than a interested Ronda Rousey if I wanted to beat her.
Yeah, like that's not the type of person you want to give bulletin board material to.
No, and there's an element, and I'm not the first person to bring this up, and I know he's been connected, but I was watching Mike Tyson as an 18, 20-year-old fighter come in and just destroy. Not even close. It wasn't even, you know. And there is elements of that right now with Rousey. And I don't, you know, easy to say, well, she's not going to be Mike Tyson. And I just don't see the landscape providing her kind of the same kind of big fights as at least Tyson got into before he kind of got off track. Having said that, it only takes one, right? It only takes one punch, lucky or not. I don't think this is it, though.
I don't think this one's it either. I know that everybody's waiting for Cyborg. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Christine Cyborg Santos, if you're not aware, is a very highly regarded mixed martial artist herself, and everybody believes those are the two best. Well, I don't think there's any debate about it. They are the two best in the world, and yet there's a very large contingent of people who don't believe that fight is going to happen in the near future. So it's probably not going to be tomorrow, and I don't know if it's going to be in the near future that somebody's going to be able to because it's
doesn't
it's
that then
only,
force the Cyborg fight though?
It might
at some point you have because that's where the money will be,
and it might force the entire crop of fighters to get better. But I don't know like how you really do anything but give us that fight eventually because. Yeah, I don't think in the next 3 years we're going to see somebody who can get. I mean, maybe we will, maybe we won't. But somebody who's going to develop and be as strong as Rousey is, and be able to challenge that dominance, because that's what it's been. 10 of 11 fights haven't gotten out of the first round, yeah. And she's never gone to a decision. She's finished every fight she's ever been in. She says for this one she wants to go long. She wants to rearrange her face and like so like there's some bad blood here, but yeah, like. So when Ronda a year ago fought Alexis Davis and beat her in 16 seconds, well, that sucks. As a Canadian girl, you would have liked to see her do more, but yeah. Okay, beat her in 16 seconds. In February, she comes back and she outdoes herself and wins in 14 seconds. So like at this point, you're like, who is she gonna
armbars, right?
Armbar. Well, the one was an armbar against Zingano. Against Alexis Davis, it was basically met in the middle. Davis went to throw some sort of combination. Ronda moved, judo throw,
that's right,
and then
yeah.
right into the headlock on the ground and punches that ended right.
right?
TKO. Yeah. So I don't like the question now is who's going to beat Ronda Rousey? Who's going to get Ronda Rousey out of the first round is the question right now. Misha Tate is the only one who's ever done it, and she still got armbarred. So who's going to get her out of the first round? And that to me is the biggest question. That's an accomplishment in itself.
I'm looking past the fight. She shouldn't. When does she fight again?
So here we are in August, I would guess. Well, depending on how the UFC wants to go about things, maybe the New Year's Eve card, okay. maybe the Super Bowl card. That would be my guess as to when she would fight again.
Okay.
Because they usually do. So Calgary, we're led to believe, is getting the card on December 5th. That will not be the New Year's show. The show later on that month will be like the really stacked one they usually do.
Okay.
And then usually right around the Super Bowl, they'll have a show, and that's a pretty stacked card too. And then usually one or two into the summer they will.
And just before we take a break, we are learning this afternoon, it's now been confirmed by the family, Rowdy Roddy Piper passing away at the age of 61 today. And it's, you know, I'm just been checking Twitter and there's a lot of people that, you know, this strikes a chord for, and it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of, we said goodbye to Dusty Rhodes a little while ago. If you're a wrestling fan, if you're not, none of these names mean anything and you could care less, but, you know, really good talker, really good showman, really guy who went over the top, right up until the last days. I mean, you said you talked to him about 4 years ago and he was still entertaining. He was still fun.
He was the innovator in a lot of ways. I mean, Dusty Rhodes is right there with them in a lot of ways, but an innovator in the art of the wrestling promo, the art of the wrestling persona. Because you had the bad, I mean, not to say that other guys weren't. I mean, the greats have always, Hulk Hogan was a great promo. Hulk Hogan's far better on the mic than he ever was in the ring. But
he wasn't Roddy Piper.
No, Roddy did something as a bad guy that as a heel that very few people have been able to do. He might have been the first heel that people started cheering for because he was so good at it. Right?
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to watch some of those MSG shows that the WWF then ran, just watching him walk to the ring or to the ring with his smirk, and he had that ability. You looked at him, and you know he was a good looking, handsome guy that just looked like a mean SOB.
And whenever those bagpipes,
you knew right away.
You're like, okay, well, here comes a good promo, right?
Absolutely. Enjoy your long weekend. Enjoy your time off, and we will catch you in September.
It's been a rough month for me. Yeah. 2 weeks off, week on, week off.
But you're handling it well, right? You're pacing yourself, and I think that's what you need to do, right? You're pacing yourself.
Yeah, I guess I will see you in September.
Yep. Coming up, Barry Midori, he's working with the under-17 coaches for Hockey Canada, their summer showcase. It's underway. He's going to join us next. We'll talk a little bit about that. Because, again, the under-17 program, just in its second year, had a chance to sit down and talk to Barry yesterday, and that's kind of what led to this conversation. They're doing some really cool things. Later on, the Stampeder update with Josh Humphreys. He'll get a set for the Alouettes and the Stamps tomorrow night. And then a conversation with Randy Chevrier. A little different. Especially at the end, it kind of spirals out of control. But that's why we love them. That's all coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Big Show, brought to you by Comedy Cave. If it's comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tickets are always $10. Comedy's so good, you'll whip out your funny bone. Go to comedycave.com.